Welcome to Rewire with Brian Coons, a podcast that explores human potential. If this content is useful to you, please rate or share with your friends and loved ones. Welcome to the Rewire podcast. This is episode number 33. Today I have with me Rita Aldo Rassi. She is an educator, author, blogger, spiritual and strategic life coach, NLP practitioner, spiritual mentor, healer, shaman, mother and student of life specializing in spirituality and mind and body soul wellness. Rita, it's a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Brian. I love your intro.
Yeah, that's a lot that's going on. So I'm really excited to dig into that and talk to you more about it. We were just chatting prior to the podcast about, you know, how we met. So we just ended up sort of serendipitously friends on Facebook. And I saw the cover of Rita's book when she released it. Was it probably a year ago, maybe?
Actually, it was the end of 2019, November 29th, actually, it was released.
Okay, so just over 6 months. And, you know, the cover struck me. It's called Reawaken. And re is a big thing for me and a big thing for you, too. So maybe we could start by, I love in the book how your spiritual journey kind of came about on a trip to Indigo. So maybe you could start there with your story.
Sure. I'd never really envisioned myself writing a book. I mean, I love to write, but wasn't really sure that this was something that was a lifelong passion of mine. But everyone in life, I think, goes through different points where there's high points and low points. And when I was going through a low point, you know, I'm looking around clearly for some type of guidance. And I actually was in an Indigo at Yorkdale, and I was roaming the Indigo just because I had just had a financial advisor tell me on how much doom and gloom I had in my financial future. So I figured, let me look at the self-help section. I mean, it's not a section I normally go into, but I thought, okay, let me take a look. And a friend of mine had told me to look at the book from Viktor Frankl called The Meaning of Life. So I went, took a look at it, and this is like on the second tier. It's really, really quiet. And I'm looking through this book from Viktor Frankl, which kind of interesting. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, this book from maybe three shelves higher than where my head was literally falls and conks me in the head. And there's no one around me. I didn't reach for anything that was above my eye line. So I'm not really sure why it would have been teetering like that. But the gentleman beside me starts looking, like he looks at me, looks at the book, starts laughing. And he's like, I think you need to buy the book. And I'm like, no shit, really? Like, it was crazy because I had never touched it before. And I look at this book and there's this blonde haired, wide eyed woman with this shirt that had this big happy face on it, which was completely the opposite of how I was feeling that day. You know, being a single mom, I had gone through a divorce, and I'm like, okay, great. Then this chick's all happy, right? So I'm looking at it going, really, really? And I've always had those moments, but I just never paid attention. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I got to look at it. I mean, I was ready to whip it, but I figured, okay, let me at least read it. I swear to you, not 20 minutes later, I found myself downstairs in the line up to pay, and I was already on the second chapter. I couldn't put it down. So clearly, the universe conspired to get this book in my hands. It was from Gabrielle Bernstein. I think it was her second book at the time, which I have to be honest, completely changed my life. It was called Spirit Junkie. And that whole book, the premise is utilizing all of your relationships as assignments and not focusing on the negative. So if you have a bad relationship with your father, your boyfriend, your ex-husband, etc., you use those and you utilize that in your life as lessons. Use it as an assignment.
Yeah.
Get past the hatred, the anger, and all of everything else, which, you know, the human condition tends to really rely on. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I found myself Googling her. I read the book within a week. I ended up Googling to see if there was any more information I could have. And I found myself not 6 months later at one of her seminars. And that's kind of how the book starts, where, you know, I'm sitting here in this auditorium with 300 other people. My hands are held up high. I'm crying. I'm singing songs I never knew. And the words are coming out of my mouth. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, how do I find myself here with all these people in New York City in this very dark theater? But I had one of those moments, like I was here before. And I realized it took me back to going to Europe as a 12-year-old with my parents, feeling, you know, this surge of singing, this wholeness in your soul where you're just truly happy. And I thought, okay, I need to have more of this. And that kind of sparked the journey. The book itself, my book ended up coming as part of the journey. I didn't even know that this is what clearly the universe wanted me to do. But the actual book, the cover, the name, everything came to me in my dreams. And I would write it down on my nightstand and I would wake up in the morning thinking, what the hell did I do last night? Like there's chapters and chapters written. And I had absolutely no clue until I kind of realized, you know what, this is the universe nudging me as to what I needed to do, because we don't know what our spiritual journey is. We just have to be awake enough to see it. And right now is one of the best times. The world is, I think, in a complete global reset where we're able to relook at a lot of what's happened to us and reset those things that are not working. And because my name is it's Rita. I don't have a middle name, but nobody calls me Rita. Everyone calls me Ree. So for me, everything comes as Ree. There's certain things that always come in my life. There's always threes in my life, which is kind of funny that this is episode 33.
Right. Interesting.
I'm born on the third. Threes have always been my pattern. So I just started finding all of these synchronicities that are happening and I started lining them all up. And I'm like, okay, if you don't pay attention, the universe is going to force you to pay attention. And when you keep seeing these things come to you, then you kind of have to poke your head up and say, okay, there's a reason for that, because we all have a purpose. We're all here to learn something. And that's kind of the concept of the book. That's why it's not awaken, it's reawaken, because I do believe some people have been here before, whether that's, you know, religious belief or not. I'm open to every type of belief system. There's always a higher power. But I find we're redoing something right now. We're relearning. Like I have a dreaded fear of heights. And I have absolutely no reason why. I couldn't tell you. If you said to me, no, but Rita, you know, you got to have a reason why you're scared of heights. I have absolutely no idea. Yet I booked myself to a trip to Peru in 2018. And I was forced to deal with it when we went to climb to Machu Picchu. And sure enough, I found this beautiful soul beside me. Her name is Jennifer. She was also a shaman of, I think, 10 years. And you know what? I'm not scared of heights anymore. Completely released it. This was a patterned of learning that I had acquired through childhood. It wasn't my fear. It was my mother's.
Right.
So that process of unlearning, you know, gets us to, you know, really look at the conditioning that we've had as children. Because a lot of people always say to me, you know, you have children because we're supposed to disseminate that information to them. No, it's not. Children are brought here to teach us, because anyone who has children knows you see the world through their eyes. So every opportunity is an opportunity for learning. So, you know, with this book, it's kind of like an easy, digestible guide to spirituality and how you can kind of enhance your life with it on the day-to-day basis. Because every chapter takes you through different processes of re-examining your life. Be it some of the pain that you've had, you know, everyone has experienced something in their life and you need to be able to, you know, like I said, digest it, deal with it, release the pain, learn the lessons or pull those lessons forward. And then you're able to kind of release that story, that connection with pain. You know, sometimes when someone says, oh, I went to the doctor and that needle hurt. And I always say it's because you're focusing on that part. That's just part of the story.
Yes.
He could have met the most amazing doctor and he could have gone on to cure, I don't know, different diseases. Like, wow, what an opportunity. But we focus on the hurt because that's something that we hold dearly. But if you kind of really pull yourself away from the pain part of it, there's a lesson there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the book leads you. And I mean, it's started as my journey. And, you know, if you've read the book, you know that it's not really mine. It's mine, but it's actually the reader's journey.
Because
every chapter has questions at the end. You know, it takes you through the process of, you know, rewiring your story. You know, there's lessons. Someone says to me the other day, "Oh, are you single?" And I'm like, "Yes." And they're like, "Oh, you're divorced or you never married?" And I thought, wow, how interesting that people automatically have to categorize you.
Right. Yes.
You know, when someone says, "Oh, I guess you had a horrible divorce." I'm like, "Well, it wasn't pretty, but, you know, it's okay." And the woman just looked at me in disbelief. Her eyes must have been five sizes larger. And, you know, the whole look was more so that I should have stayed in that element of pain. I'm like, "No, I'm good. You know, the kid's dad and I, we're good. We're co-parent. Kids are great. One day we're going to have to, you know, have grandchildren together and our kids are going to get married. You want to navigate a good path."
Yeah.
And, you know, it was interesting. I left that conversation and I swear to you, that woman had her mouth open. And I thought, wow, so interesting that, you know, her concept of divorce, I mean, it's never necessarily a good thing, but, you know, there's so many blessings. I would have never had my children. So every story, good or bad, you have to start focusing on the good part. And as I said, the book kind of takes you through that and also reconnecting with nature and love and gratitude. And there's also one chapter just designated to finding, reclaiming your beat, because I think music moves the soul.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I love the flow of the book. And you know, it's amazing how you described writing it, how it just kind of flowed out through you, because it kind of feels that way. It just feels like you said, it's your journey, but it feels like the reader's journey as well. And, you know, I've been on the same path. So I feel like, it really just kind of reassures me and, you know, kind of just makes me feel like, yes, this is like I'm part of something bigger, you know. And I'm really interested to know your thoughts on, you know, you said something very important when people are trapped in patterns and conditioning and from their in childhood trauma and all types of suppressed emotions. And when people don't pay attention, you said, what do you think is, like, if people are trapped and they're like, you know, I don't know, you know, and they get in that little cage in their minds, what tools or what, like, you know, if a book doesn't pop out and hit them in the head, and like, how does one sort of kind of at least feel that first spark ignite where they're like, "Hey, wow. And, you know, let me start to explore this a little further."
You know what? It can be something as simple as a conversation. You know, people have gone to therapy, people have gone to coaching, books, podcasts. There's so many things out there, and there's more nowadays than ever before. I've worked with many people in my coaching practice to help people kind of navigate past. And sometimes I feel like it's just an ear. That's all you need, is someone to talk through that anger. Like that lady that I left, I think that conversation is probably going to stay with her. Now, I didn't really know her, but from the look on her face, she probably never viewed divorce. Now, could that spark another conversation? She might have gone home and said to her friends, "You know what? I talked to this lady the other day and, you know, I was talking to her about her divorce, da-da, and she was okay about it." Someone's probably going to say, okay. Like, it sparks more communication. Some people are stuck, and they're either stuck for certain reasons. They're stuck because they like being in that negative vibe.
Yeah.
Some people are, they're happiest being unhappy. And that's really too sad, because we're not really meant here to just experience negativity. You know, I always say to people, we're spirits in a human condition. We're learning to be human beings. We're all spiritual on a lot of different levels. So you have to take whatever experience is giving you and experience to its fullest. Okay, so it hurts. I mean, having a child hurts, but do you focus on the pain? No. If we did, women would not be recreating other human beings again and again every single day.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So why are we able to move past the pain of having a baby, but not able to move past the pain of, say, a childhood trauma or, you know, a divorce or whatever else, you know, condition that you might have had? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the attention to a certain extent. It's the label. People are very into labels nowadays. as well as just being negative. And as I said, I always believe that it takes an ear. And I know people are like, what does that mean? You need someone who's going to listen and not listen to respond. Sometimes a person just wants to be heard. Talk it through. I always say to people, tape yourself. What's really bothering you? And tape yourself. I did this to a friend a couple of years ago, and she really got mad at me. And I played it back for her. And when she heard herself complaining, you should have seen her face. And she goes, why did you do that? And I said, because I wanted you to hear what I hear. And she was such a beautiful person, such a happy girl. Unfortunately, something traumatizing happened to her and everything changed. Everything went, you know, from yellow to gray. And it's unfortunate because we're not meant to be unhappy. We really aren't. But I mean, some people do need therapy. It depends on, you know, the trauma that you've had. Definitely. I would never, you know, advocate that you shouldn't, if that's something that you need. I mean, I went through years of therapy after my divorce because I needed to learn and become a better person and release some of the guilt.
Yeah.
I mean, people say, oh, you're directing it at your ex-husband. No, the hurt goes both ways and you're both into it together. I went through almost 5 years of therapy because I owed it to my children. So therapy, you know, I'm a big advocate of that, but sometimes I think it needs to start. That spark that you talk of sometimes is just talking to someone, opening up a little bit more and seeing how that feels. But you have to be willing to go that journey. You know, when I kind of came to the point of saying, okay, I don't want to be scared of heights anymore. And where the heck did this come from? Most people's, you know, first comment is not to book a trip to Peru. You know what I mean? You've got to be willing and adventurous to say, okay, you know what? I'm here. I'm healthy. I'm able. I want to do something good with my life. And as I said, I ended up traveling. Let me tell you, it's not that I was not scared. Of course you are. But sometimes you have to force yourself in very uncomfortable circumstances to get a benefit.
Right.
You do. Yeah.
So it's interesting. So going back to that, so we have the spark, you know, you have the willingness to do this. You know, I love the part about having someone to talk to who can listen. You know, I find for myself, you know, I have to create sort of, I have a daily routine that includes a lot of the stuff that you mentioned about a self-love protocol, a gratitude journal, meditate every day, you know, music that inspires. What is your daily routine? Because I find that if I don't stick to my routine, and I've been very, very diligent with that in the last few years, and I've been on kind of my journey, I think just a little over a decade, but in the early days, it was intermittent and I would just feel those peaks and valleys of my sort of journey because of the effort. I needed to continue to work on that, or old habits and old feelings and old programming would come back. Yeah. What is your protocol for something like that?
Now that we're in this new normal, I think my self-love practices have been expanded a little bit more, which I absolutely love. I mean, when you work a 9-to-5 job and you're out and working, you've got kids and soccer practice, et cetera, it's very hard. Now that a lot of us are in quarantine, personally, I wake up, I'm meditating very first thing for at least a good hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right from that, because I find quieting the mind for me is imperative because my brain goes constantly and I literally have to train myself to stop spinning. I usually go for a good 40-minute walk. I'm in the suburban part of the GTA. Okay. So it's very, very quiet where I am and you see all different type of nature. I go usually so early that there's literally no one out there. And I know, yes, it's nice to wave to your neighbors, but when I need that type of meditation, and that means outside and even just walking, I need that time by myself. I allow my brain to literally weed through anything that it needs to. It's almost like a computer when it's rebooting. You know, when you see that little circle?
Yep.
Because it's allowing me to do that mentally. Yep. And I can actually feel it. And I know this sounds really odd, but I always have this practice where I'm walking and I'll close my eyes and I continue to walk at the same pace. And I want to see how quickly I go off path. And then when I open my eyes, I see if I'm clearly in the middle of the road, in the middle of a field, et cetera. But I do that just to allow my brain to slow down and concentrate one thing at a time. I can listen to my breathing. I hear my steps. you're making your brain go down to the most basic element where it's your survival at this point, because you don't want to be walking in front of traffic, clearly. Now, I'm not downtown Toronto, so you hear the birds chirping, etc., but it slows everything down for me. There's also a lot of meditative music that I listen to. And usually when I come back, it's a cup of tea, some type of smoothie, and then I'm journaling. And again, people are going to think this is a bit odd, but I do this for me. It's not for everybody.
Yes.
I write with my right hand, but I started writing with my left.
Very cool.
So if you start writing with your left hand, or if you're right-handed and you don't want to write with your left because you don't have the aspiration to do so, you know, when you're writing in school, they teach you to kind of slant your letters to the right?
Yes.
I slant mine to the left.
Okay.
The reason why I'm doing that is, again, I'm rewiring my brain.
Purposely.
I'm doing it so that I'm really concentrating in what I'm writing. Because when people write, they go on autopilot. That's not what you want here. You want to slow everything down so you really allow our brains. We use 13% of it. There's so much more. And I mean, now I can write with both hands. And when I do write, I write, as I said, with all my words kind of slanted to the left, but I'm taking my time writing it so that the words are not just flowing, but they're more concise. You're allowing your brain to download a little bit more. And those processes for me slows everything down. You're not thinking about your grocery list. You're not thinking about, you know, what you have to do that day. You're thinking of you, yourself. What do you need today? Sometimes I've come up and said, you know what? I think I'm just going to go to the park. Sometimes I actually feel that the walk, the meditation, and the journaling is not enough. So I'll take off my shoes. I'll go in my backyard and I'll walk around, or I'll go to a park nearby because I have a few beautiful parks with water, take off my shoes, and I completely get grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Because the negative ions that we receive from the earth, we don't do that anymore. We put rubber-soled shoes, we walk in the house, we've got, you know, some people are lucky enough to have hardwood, etc., but that's still not enough. You need the negative ions from the actual earth.
Yes.
And that heals a lot of traumas. It resets us. And I find as soon as I feel really, you can almost feel, you feel alienated. And it's funny because I've worked in a lot of different companies. I work in a very corporate industry. And so many times I've had people that still message me on LinkedIn and they're like, Rita, I went outside the other day. I was having a bad day and I took off my socks and my shoes and I went outside. Everyone was weird, but I didn't care. They're like, yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, it's amazing that this the new normal, as you called it, I mean, it's kind of forcing people to go back to these things. We've had time. So now instead of, you know, oh, I got to go shopping, I have to go to the mall and buy something to make myself feel better right now. It's like, you know what? Take your socks off, stick them in the grass, take a moment to breathe. And like you said, that precious present moment where you can be in the moment. Not on autopilot, but like full awareness. And that's where like all those beautiful messages come and our intuition, creativity, and all these great things.
Absolutely. But we don't plug into that. We've lost a lot of it with, I hate to say it, but it's with that white noise, with computer. Like, stay off your computer.
Yes.
Stay off your phone. Shut it off. Television. It's all, that's why they call it programming. You know, and I think a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you have to really disconnect. I mean, I usually try to go away once a year to a place where I literally put my phone away. If it's not for taking photos, it's literally not having all of the beautiful, you know, wonderful stuff that we have at home, be it, you know, hot running water and, you know, air conditioning and telephones and Wi-Fi everywhere you are. Like, we really need to get, like, look at all the posts on Facebook now. You're seeing people that are gardening and making their own, like, you know, growing their own vegetables.
Right.
We needed to get to this point because society was going so fast forward in such a way, you know, Mother Nature's going to turn around and say, hey, you guys are not really in charge here.
That's right. And
that's why I kept saying, a few friends of mine, I think I wrote it in the book, they kept saying to me, but aren't you finished the book yet? Aren't you finished the book yet? And I'm like, no, it's just not done. I couldn't give birth to it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And then when I finally did, when a few people who had started receiving it and ordering it online, I started getting these messages and they were like, oh my God, this is perfect timing. Oh my God, this is perfect. And I'm like, everyone needs the time to slow down. The universe is forcing us right now. We don't have a choice.
Right.
So you can either sit at home with your legs up, have a nice martini and watch TV through all of this, or you can really start doing something that's beneficial. Because all it takes is one or two people in a family to start reawakening. And you know what? It automatically resets the whole family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you turned around, Brian, and said, okay, everyone's going to go outside, take off your shoes and socks, and we're going to walk in the backyard.
Yeah.
The whole experience is going to be, what? Oh, yeah. Okay, let's do it. Absolutely. You know, someone said to me the other day, and they're like, oh, you're going to go out and you don't have a mask? And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I was raised where we used to eat dirt.
Same.
And I sit there and I'm like, okay, I understand the protocols, but
trust my immunity here. I think we're gonna, you know, make it through this. It's funny. it is so contagious to have that influence, and honestly, from my own world, everybody who I'm close with these days. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to stop and do some breath work or meditation or. You know, and it's just part of that now. And it's just people start doing it, but then they're like, wow, I just feel so light. I just feel like I'm just good enough right here and now. I don't need any external validation. I don't need anything. I'm just good right here and now. And I love your morning routine. And I think one of the most important pillars in people's journey is creating those habits like you have every morning where you get up. You create some peace for yourself, and that means get up earlier before everybody else and have that space for yourself. Get into nature, find your breath, you know, and move your body as well. I love that.
Absolutely. And you want to expose yourself to different things. You know, yes, I wrote a book. Am I kind of proud of it? Of course I am. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to read anyone else's books. You got to continue to grow and learn. I mean, I read Robin Sharma, who I absolutely adore. Fantastic books. And there was, I mean, I tend to wake up at about 5 o'clock, 4:55 for some reason.
Did you read the 5 a.m. Club?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I did as well. I like it.
And it captured me because I'm like, oh, okay, that's an interesting concept because I'm up at 5 anyway. And when I started reading, I'm like, oh my gosh, like there's other people that are doing this that feel the same way I do because I want to kind of jump out of bed and get started. And as I said, I meditate in the morning, but I work a very corporate job. And there's like thousands of people in the building that I work with. And the team that I'm with, I was noticing more and more people, they were drinking more and more coffee and more people were getting upset, sick days, et cetera. So they knew that I had gone to Chile last year. And when I came back, I'm like, do you guys want to meditate? And they're like, oh, okay. So I had like three people. And I was lucky enough to be able to advocate to have a quiet room in our building. And we started doing meditations, Brian, every day at 11 o'clock. And let me tell you, every day there was more and more people coming from different divisions. Yeah. Now, I started with my division because I didn't really have authority to do so.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you how transformative it was. And then, you know, of course, my book came out shortly thereafter. And a lot of the people see the different types of techniques that there are, because there are different types of meditations. And I mean, I always say to people, whatever floats your boat. And that's why I also say, even with music, you choose the music that rocks you.
Yeah.
Let that move you into whatever you need to move in. And it's amazing to me that even though I meditate for an hour at home, even though I went to work and I meditated again for, you know, the 10, 15 minutes that we did, it was transformative for those people because they're starting.
Yeah.
And now that we ended up having the pandemic, I have to be honest, there was a lot of people that are like, Rita, I'm missing it. And I'm like, okay, you can go to these channels. This is what I want you to download. There's these different apps you can do because all of a sudden they missed it. And I'm like, okay, so clearly it works. Even if it's a little bit of a spark, it's there. The human condition is to learn.
Yes.
And we will all go back to that, but I think everyone will find their path in a different way because we're not all meant to find the same things, right?
Right. Yeah. But, well, the meditation, the group meditation thing is powerful. I've been doing quite a bit as well over the course of the pandemic and been helping a group of frontline healthcare workers. It's a live session a couple times a week, but I've been doing children's sessions twice a week too. And we were actually on CP24 last week. Yeah. We'll be on Global News next week, and it's kind of fun, you know, but the just that influence on people, once you get them started, once you get them over that hump of like, oh, I sat there, I didn't know what to do. My mind was racing. Well, you know, just a few techniques and a little bit of time, a little bit of patience. It's amazing what the payoff is. So it's amazing that you're able to do that with your company.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely rewarding. I love the fact when new people come in, and I don't like to play teacher because we're all teachers. You can learn from anybody. And a couple times I had new people in, so I would say to the people that were already there, I'm like, okay, guys, you know the routine. Well, right. You guys kind of express. And all of a sudden you saw these people that were kind of in the back corner that didn't kind of want to necessarily say anything. And then they were like, oh, well, I found this works. And I sat there and I swear to you, there was a couple times where I literally had tears in my eyes because I was so proud of these people who, you know, were so stressed and always going for that extra large coffee. And they came in somewhat begrudgingly. And all of a sudden here they are excited and they're teaching what they learned to this new person that came in.
Right.
And I thought, wow, how amazing is that? That, and again, it's not like, you know, I'm a guru that's sitting on top of a mountain. I'm just bringing in a 15-minute meditation. But these people were so enlightened afterwards. They came out, they were happy, they were full of energy. And yeah. I'm like, I did that. And that's just
absolutely.
At 11 o'clock. Imagine what you can do by 3.
Me. Yeah. No, that feeling of being a service to others and then empowering other people to help others on their path. It's just incredible.
Well, I love the fact that you're doing, you know, teaching meditation with children, because I believe the other generations that are coming, they're going to need that more than anyone, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're more stimulated. I mean, we, you know, when we grew up, no computers, two television channels. Go play in the traffic, go play in the forest, whatever it is, right? Just find something to do. And a lot of time just out there staring at a blade of grass. But, you know, it's a different world now. It's very noisy. So it's really required because, you know, the poor kids are just like overwhelmed, you know, with noise.
You said the right word. You know, sometimes there's so much going on that you literally have to quiet down your mind. You know, I have one child that was diagnosed with ADHD and ADD as well. And it was really hard. And I think a lot of that as a parent teaches you to kind of shut things down a little bit faster to say, okay, you know what? All this noise that we have around, as I said, computers, stereos, you know, podcasts, we have so much that is on us. And it's the condition we're learning right now. And, you know, children nowadays, it's amazing to me where you see a 3-year-old, they pick up your phone and they've already changed half of your programs and your passcode.
Yeah. Exactly. And downloaded a bunch of new apps that you don't need.
Yes.
As well. Yeah.
So the brain is can learn either way. But I think we also have to teach ourselves to have a bit of time. And that's where the self-love comes in. Be it 15 minutes a day, half, you know, even if someone wants to adapt a practice where at the end of every day, which is normally what I do, is I always take a cold shower at night. Mm-hmm. Water will really assist you in releasing a lot of energies because water is energy. And by taking a long,
it's a powerful process, physiological too. And I do, I'm actually studying in the Wim Hof method right now. And I do cold showers daily as well, just for the health reasons as well, for the vascular system. But that controlled stress response, it's quite powerful.
Absolutely. And I find when you do that and, you know, you make yourself a cup of tea and it doesn't have to be tea. It can be, you know, hot water with lemon. It can be, you know, with a little bit of honey, whatever kind of floats your boat. But it's that process of drinking something warm and literally allowing your mind and your body to slow down. You know, people can burn incense. I usually open up a window. I love white sage, so I usually have that burning or a candle of some kind. And I just allow my brain to kind of wind down. And I find that in itself is really helpful. And people always say to me, yeah, but you know, how do you have the time? Maybe because your kids are older. You make 10 minutes. Yeah. You know, once you put your kids to bed, okay, so the kitchen is still not clean or you didn't vacuum. It doesn't matter. You need that time and you need it more now than ever. And I find once you adopt those practices a little bit at a time, kids eventually will join in. If you say, well, this is mommy's time, we're just going to make tea and just sit quietly or read a book or whatever, shut everything else off. Kids will start adapting that behavior if that's shown in the home.
100%. Yeah. All those mirror neurons in their brains, it's monkey see, monkey do. Rita, I'm curious on the on the book, The Spirit War, Reawaken the Spirit Warrior. So where does, what's warrior mean to you in terms of spirituality?
I'm glad you asked that question. I was trained in judo from the age of five. So every judo martial artist will always see and feel that word warrior, because it's brought up quite a bit. Discipline that's kind of invoked in a dojo. I learned it from a very, very young age. And then when my children were in elementary school, I think we had some issues with bullying, and I was going through a divorce, and I ended up going back and picking up Taekwondo. So I had a few different practices. And one of my best friends has a dojo, and warrior is part of her name. And I realized that everything I went through, be it, you know, the divorce, be it through, I had both my parents and my sister who were gravely ill. I literally, you know, when we use the term, we have to soldier on, that never kind of resonated with me. So for me, I always saw myself as a warrior. Because when you start doing martial arts from such a young age, it's almost ingrained in every part of your being. It's almost like, okay, you just got to deal with whatever it is, learn whatever it is, and you take the high road. So, you know, when they all got sick, I felt like I literally had to just keep warrioring on. I had to take care of my kids, build a new life, because clearly I'd gone through, you know, separation and a divorce. All of my immediate family were sick in hospitals. You go into combat mode.
Right.
And I don't like the fact of saying combat, like you're fighting everybody. But when you go into a warrior mode, it doesn't necessarily mean you're fighting. You're basically fighting to keep your sanity. But my point is you basically have to dig down and do what you need to do to get things done. Yeah. So that warrior word, to be honest, was always ingrained in me from a very young age. And that just goes back to my martial arts background, funny enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's always kind of stayed with me. And then, I mean, it's everyone who knows me knows that that word has always been in my vocabulary. So when that name came up and it was written on my journal when I woke up that morning, I was like, okay, that makes sense. That makes total sense to me. Because a lot of people are like, well, why would you put spirit warrior? Well, we're worrying on for the spirit of humanity and mankind, really.
Yeah. I love it. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking. Not a lot of people ask that question.
No, that's very cool. And I really resonate with that. So thank you. And thank you so much for being here today too, Rita. I feel like I could probably talk to you for about four more hours. So I think we're going to have to talk again. But for the sake of time today, thank you so much for this. I really enjoyed every moment. I really appreciate it, Rita. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. Hopefully we'll talk soon when my other new books start coming out.
Awesome. I can't wait for that. Okay, you have a beautiful weekend, Rita. Thank you.
You too. Thanks so much.